Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so we're in this mini-series entitled Your Best Version. Your Best Version. And this lesson has to do with you being the very best version of who God has created you to be. And remember, we said on Sunday, and I'll give you just a little bit of review, and then we're going to get into all of our new information. On Sunday, we said not being the best version of, you know, who you are on the outside, but who you are on the inside, because who you are on the inside is really what makes the difference. You got it? And so, you know, because how many know it's easy to put on a good show on the outside? But it's so important that we make sure that we are the best version of who God has called us to be on the inside. It's the will of God, you know, that we walk in integrity, that we have character, that we do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Those things are so vitally important. And never, ever, ever, ever think it's okay because you saw somebody that's maybe even credible doing something that was not right. Just because you saw somebody credible doing something, you know, wrong, and they made it look right, it doesn't make it right because we follow the word and not man. Does that make sense? And I have to make sure we understand that. And so I have to be the best version of who I can be. So it's not based on the outside, because this culture and this society that we're in, everything is based on the outside. You know, this person, you know, people follow them on Instagram because they got this and they got that. And that's not really what life is all about. The Bible says that a man's life is not consistent in the abundance of things that he has. So although God does not mind having you having things, and he wants you blessed and those kind of things, that does not give you value. That is not who you are. You are who you are because of the relationship you have with the Father and the blood that Jesus shed for you, and that's what makes you who you are. Does that make sense? All right, now 16th chapter and the 7th verse, this is Saul, the king, just not really doing what he's supposed to do. And so God says, hey, you know, I got to get me another king. So he tells Samuel, I want you to go down to Jesse's house, and I want you to talk to Jesse. And he's got some sons. I'm going to anoint one of them. He gives him the instructions. And, of course, you know, Jesse brings out his oldest son. I believe his name was Abinadab. He was a big, strong physique and that kind of thing. And, you know, Samuel had it made up in his mind, oh, this is the guy, because so many times we're always looking at the outward. But watch what happens in verse 7 of chapter 16 in verse or 1 Samuel. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the what, class? Outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? So he says, man looks at the outward, but I look at the heart. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and 20. 2 Timothy 2 and 20, and this is just our foundational text that will stay. If I teach on this on Sunday, this is the foundational text because this has to do with being the best version. It says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Now, watch this same one in the Message paraphrase. I think it'll help it a little bit more. It says, in a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets of silver platters, but waste cans of compost buckets. Some containers used to serve fine meals, while other containers to take out the garbage. He says, become the kind of container that God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for their blessings. And so, you know, so we have a choice to make. You know, we said on Sunday, it was a big joke, you can get with this or you can get with that. But at the end of the day, you have to really make up your mind what type of container I want to be. Do I want to be a container that God can only use in certain ways, or do I want to be the type of container that God can use anyway? And so that's really what it's all about. Now, on Sunday, we talked about three things that we had to move on from. Y'all remember that? All right. So the three things that we said that we had to move on from, we have to move on from old history. We had to move on from old habits, and we have to move on from old hurts. So I've got to move on from old history. What's in the past is in the past. I've got to move on from old habits. I did that whole thing up here, you know, with Joe and with Mitch and the guys holding on to him and that kind of thing. And the Bible says we have to lay aside every weight and the sin that so do easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So I've got to get rid of old habits. And then, number three, we talked about moving on from old hurts. And my key statement for that was that I can't start the next chapter of my life if I keep rereading the last one. If I keep looking back, I won't get far. And you remember, had some of the young people come up, had one of them looking straight, had one of them looking backwards, and I told them both go. And then, you know, the one looking straight got to me in 3 seconds. And in 3 seconds, the one that was looking backwards only got maybe 5 or 6 steps. And so in life, I've got to make up my mind that no matter what comes, that no matter what goes, that no matter how tough the season was, that no matter what somebody did to me, that no matter how it wasn't fair or those kind of things, I've got to learn how to forgive. I've got to let it go. I've got to move on because of purpose, because God has incredible purpose for your life, and more is in front of you than what's behind you. And that's why Paul said, I have to forget those things which are behind me, and I have to reach, I have to press forward. And sometimes, how many know, when you're in a situation where it seems like you keep looking back, you've got to make yourself and discipline yourself to keep looking forward, to not look back, and to press forward, just knowing that God has got so much ahead of me, and if I can just get over this, I've got victory on the other side, I've got peace on the other side. I've got joy on the other side. I've got increase on the other side. God's got so many things for me, and that is why the trick of the enemy is to always keep me in my past. Because, see, what happens is if I stay in my past, I allow my past to bleed into my present, and it pollutes my future. Because every time I think that I'm doing good, and then I start going back into my past and rehearsing things and rehashing things and those kind of things, it always, you know, the enemy wants to try to take me back in my mind. So what's in the past? Is in the past. Isn't that right? All right. So that was the first component of what we talked about on Sunday. All right. And so, everything that I teach is absolutely free on our website, on our podcast. And then it can also come to you free on your phones if you connect with us through text. And so now I want to get to the next component of what I want to talk about, because I gave you three things that you had to move from. And then if you remember on Sunday, I said I was going to give you two things that you have to work on to become the very best version of who you can be on the inside. And let me just tell you, you have to have your own desire to really want to be the best person you can be. Like you got to understand, Pastor can give you all the tools. He can give you all the scriptures. I can be an example for you. But at the end of the day, that's why the writer said you can't just be a hearer of the word. You got to be a doer of the word. You got to wake up and say, God, I want to give you my very best today. Like, I want to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. I want to walk in love. I want to forgive people. I want to do the right things and be the very best version of me that I can be. Because when I'm the very best version that I can be, I let my light shine the brightest so other people can see who Jesus really is. That's a good place to clap right there. Amen. All right. Okay, so let's talk about, let me give you the two things, and there is a whole lot of meat on these bones. All right? There's a whole lot of meat on these bones. If you understand good teaching, you'll understand what I'm talking about, all right? So let's put number one up on the screen. Number one, never consider yourself above temptation. Never consider yourself above temptation. And I think we have to understand, when it comes to temptation, to various trials and tests and those kind of things, I can never consider myself above that. You remember when Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan desires to sift you. And so you got to understand, if Satan desired to sift Peter, he desires to sift all of us. And so you can never consider yourself above temptation. Don't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. Like, Satan, he wants, if he can get you, he'll try to get you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, how many know we've got power over the devil? You got it? How many know the blood of Jesus is greater, right? But how many know we still have our part to play in this whole process? You got it. What do you mean part to play? How many know there's some environments we just need to stay out of? You got it. How many know there's some company that we just don't need to be in? Does that make sense? How many know there's some things that we just don't need to do? You got it. Well, you know, it ain't legal. It's lawful, but it's not expedient. And I think that we have to understand that, and we have to learn these things. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 12th verse. And this is for everybody, including your pastor. You understand what I'm saying? This is just for Christians. We need to understand that we should never consider ourselves above temptation. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 12th verse. Before I go there, just keep that up there. People don't like to talk about sin, but how many know we need to talk about sin? Because we live in this culture now where everybody says you can just do what you want to do and it's okay and Jesus just loves you anyways and, you know, he ain't going to worry about it, you know. But that is going a little too far away from what God's word says. Yes, he's a God of grace. You got it? Because where sin is, you know, grace much more abounds. And then what happens is people take that, you know, as grace being a license to sin. When you really understand grace and you're really walking in grace, you don't have a desire to sin, because now when I'm walking in grace, got it, I'm directed by the Holy Spirit. So he's leading me and he's guiding me. He's saying, nuh-uh, don't go over there. Uh-uh, don't do that. And those kind of things. And so I really need to understand this grace that I'm supposed to be walking in. And so sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and start making you pray prayers that you should never pray. You got it? Lord, if you just get me out of this, I won't ever do this again. How many, or I won't ever ask you for anything again. How many know we do not need to pray prayers like that? You got it? Because I just figure I'm going to need him again. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to need him by 10:15. You understand? And so we don't pray prayers like this. 1 Corinthians, excuse me, the 10th chapter, the 12th verse, in the Message translation says, these are all warning markers, danger in our history books written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end. So we're really running the same race. He says, and we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. Everybody say self-confident. And that's something that will really mess you up, but let's talk about that in a minute. He says, but don't be so naive and self-confident. He said, you're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. He says, cultivate God confidence. What is the difference? Self-confidence is when I'm depending and relying on me. God confidence is when I'm depending and relying on God. And, you know, how, you might not realize that, but how many know that you will let your own self down if you're not careful? Does that make sense? You know, let's just be honest. Anybody in the room besides me ever made a mistake? Okay, and after you made that mistake, you're like, man, why did I do that? You got it? And if we're not careful, you know, we don't realize, you know, that is self-confidence. Because if we're not careful, we think, man, I'm exempt, but I've been saved for a while now. You know, I know the word. I go to without limits. No, the devil desires to sift you like he does anybody else. That's what we'll get to in a little while, but that's why you got to keep safeguards in place, and you got to do certain things. Proverbs, the 16th chapter and the 18th verse teaches us that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. And so, you know, pride will mess you up if you let it. All right, now I have these, what I like to call these don't get mad at pastor statements. So whenever I'm teaching and I give these don't get mad at pastor statements, these statements aren't targeting anybody. Does that make sense? These are just blanket statements that pastor himself lives by, that when I talk to me, this is the stuff I tell myself. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so, you know, so I have statements like, one of the best things you can do is understand that you're one step away from stupid. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that sounds crazy, but I have taught myself that along the way, because if I'm not careful, let me just use me. I don't need to use you. Let me just use me. You know, I've been saved about all my life. You got it. God is using me mightily. There's an anointing upon me. People want me to come preach all over the country for them. If I'm not careful, I'll get self-confidence and think I'm above this or I'm above that. And that's, watch this, and if I get there, that's exactly when the enemy wants to come in and take me from right under my feet. But when I wake up saying, Father, I just need you every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every month. I can't do this without you. I can't breathe without you. I can't function without you. I can't be a good husband without you. I can't be a good pastor without you. I can't be a good father. So Lord, I need you to make me and mold me and shape me into the person that you would have me to be. And Father, this area that I'm dealing with is frustrating. So I need you to help me, because I don't want to go off in the wrong area in this way. And God, I need you to help me over here, because how many know we all have areas that we need God to help us in. And to the degree that we can be honest, because listen, if you can't be honest with God, you can't be honest with nobody. Because you can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool God none of the time. So you've got to live your life. You got it? With this humility that God, I need you. Like, I always need you. Listen. On my best day, I need Jesus. Because sometimes, you know, on your worst day, you know you need him. You got it. Let's just be honest. On my worst day, when all hell is breaking loose and I don't understand why this is going on, it's easy for me to call on Jesus. David said, this poor man cried unto the Lord and he heard me. You got it? But so on your worst day, you know you need Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, on your best day, when everything is popping, when everything is flowing, when everything is going like you want it to, you still need Jesus the same way as when on your low days. Does that make sense? All right. And so you just got to understand that. All right. So those are just, don't get mad at pastor statements. All right. All right. So this stuff I teach, I've taught myself along the way. Something else I've taught myself along the way is that nothing good happens after midnight. So to reduce the odds, don't be out too late. I mean, I think the only time I can really remember really being out after midnight, my wife and I were at like a conference or something, that might be a little bit different, you got it. But going to McDonald's or something something like that. I think when Lady was pregnant with Hannah, she had this craving for McDonald's, and there happened to be one that's open, or used to be open 24 hours in James City. And so I went to go get her something from McDonald's, and I didn't know, how crazy it is at 2:00 in the morning. So, get in the house. Now I understand the rule when the street lights come on. My grandmother used to use the term loafing the road. I don't know if y'all know what loafing the road is. You know, what you doing out there just loafing the road? You know, just driving around, You ain't got no business being out there that late loafing the road. So, don't loaf the road. All right, here's another one. Because we're talking about temptations and various trials and tests, the writer says, don't think that you're above temptation and that kind of thing. And if and when, you got it, a temptation tries to arise, you have to maximize the consequences and minimize the pleasure. Everybody says maximize the consequence, minimize the pleasure. That's what you got to do. You got to maximize the consequence, minimize the pleasure. You understand what I'm saying? Brothers and sisters. I always use brothers. You understand? Saying, let me just say, some old floozy, you understand what I'm saying? Come and, try to pat on your head and tell you look good. Maximize the consequence, minimize the pleasure. It is at that moment that the enemy is trying to sift you as wheat. You got it? But it's okay, because pastor is praying for you that your faith fail you not. Right? Yeah. And so, I always use men, but really that could go both ways, because it happens both ways. And thank God for the women that are here telling the truth, because no, it goes both ways. You got it? And everybody likes to be flattered. That's just the bottom line. You got everybody, everybody like, but we have learned now that we only like to be flattered by the people that should be flattering us. Does that make sense? Yeah. I appreciate when Lady tells me I look nice. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. When she tells me I got big shoulders, I kind of walk a little bit, I appreciate those kind of things. I do have big shoulders, but that's a whole nother story. I might as well tell you real quick. And so I was in Charleston, South Carolina with my good friend Pastor Briggs. And this is before I ever was even pastoring, I think. I used to love suits and that kind of thing. And I would get some suits made. He had a guy that would make suits, and we got a really good deal on them. And so he said, man, the guy's in town. And so he's at the Marriott. So he said, if we come to this room, he'll measure you up and, you pay him and he'll send you the suits. And it was all legitimate and everything, nothing shady or anything. So it was real, because he was from another country. So he would come to the U.S. and he'd go to California. He'd make his, make all the money, go back, make the suits and send them, And it was good for us because we got suits, tailor-made suits at a fraction of the cost. And so the guy was measuring me, and, you have to put your arms out and do all that kind of stuff and stand still, and so he's going up one side, going up, and then he looked back and looked back, and I thought something was going on. He's like, no, I was just making sure my measurements were right, because, you know, based on your frame, you got big shoulders. And I was like, I got big shoulders. So I like when a lady tells me I got big shoulders, but I don't want nobody else telling me I got big shoulders. Ain't that right? Yeah, because it don't have the same effect. Because I've had maximized the consequences, and I have minimized the pleasure, and I have realized, watch this now, that I have come too far to turn back now. Does that make sense? You got it? That I'm not messing up my marriage, that I'm not messing up my ministry, and if you ever been through something, I'm not knocking you. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes people take it the wrong way. Don't let that, listen, if you made mistakes, he's faithful and just to forgive you for all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But there's a lot of people that haven't made those mistakes, and the devil's trying to get them to go down that route. And I'm trying to get them to understand, you come too far to turn back now. You got it? You too far in that relationship. You too far in that marriage. Divorce is not an option. Okay, praise the Lord. So maximize the consequence, minimize the pleasure, because if you don't do that, if you minimize the consequence and maximize the pleasure, it's going to be some pain. That's just the bottom line. It's going to be some, you know, let me just be honest. It's going to be some shame, and it's going to be some pain. Yeah. Now, God can forgive you for anything, but my whole thing is, why go through that? You got to, why go through that? You got it, you know? And so, that's just, why go through that? All right. All right, let's keep going on my don't get mad at pastor statement. This one's pretty easy, though. You won't get mad about this. All right, God loves you unconditionally. Most people don't. That's why you need your influence. All right, I'll say it again. God loves you unconditionally. Most people don't. That's why you need your influence. Now, notice what I said. I didn't say people don't love us, but most people don't love you unconditionally. You understand what I'm saying? Like the thing you have to love about God and the relationship you have with him is he knows everything about you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He has not changed his mind about you. As a matter of fact, he's made a promise. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you, that he's going to be with you to the end. He knows everything that nobody else knows, and he still hadn't changed his mind. Because if some folk found out some of that stuff that we got in our closet, they start backing up. Ooh, I don't know about all that. But thank God for a loving God of grace and of mercy who will not change his mind about you. All right? But you need your influence. All right? And so maximize the consequences, minimize the pleasure. All right? Here's another one. Put as many safeguards in place as possible. You all know I travel quite a bit. Sometimes you don't know because I'm here on Sundays and a lot of times on Tuesday, so I'll be gone Wednesday, come back Saturday. Now, I've slowed that down some, because I just decided I want to be a pastor, not an evangelist, praise the Lord. And so even though, there's a component of that that's a ministry to me, that is a ministry of mine, but when I go on the road, I never go alone. I never do that. You know, well, Pastor, are you okay? Is there a problem? No, there's no problem. You got it? But that's why there's no problem. Does that make sense? Because I put all safeguards in place. You got it? And watch this. At the end of the day, it protects me. You got it? Because, I love for lady to travel with me. You got it? Of course, she can't always go with me everywhere. And so if she can't go with me, one of the brothers go with me. It's good fellowship. We have a good time. You got it? When we stay at a hotel, we stay same floor next to each other and that kind of thing. Because why? We're putting all safeguards in place. We're making the devil a lie. You got it? And if anybody ever says anything about me, you got it? Somebody's with me and say, that the devil is a lie. That did not happen. So you have to learn to put safeguards in place. Does that make sense? All right, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. You know, I'm just going to look right here. You got just certain things you got to do and certain things you shouldn't do. So, I'm a married man, so I'm just going to look right here. I'm talking about me anyway. I'm a married man. I ain't got no business texting another woman. I just don't have no business doing that. Or you're a married woman, you don't have no business texting another man talking about, we just friends. Your husband don't want you to be friends. Because that ain't going to work. That's going to cause friction in the relationship. Can I get a? All right. Yeah. Yeah. Because she's going to tell you, pack your bags and go be friends since you want to be friends. And see, you don't want that. You don't. I'm telling you, you don't want that. You don't want that. You understand? I have never done that. You got it. Never planned to. You understand? Because as sweet as lady is, she probably would go and, you know, I don't know if she don't know how to shoot a gun, but she know how to work a pot. You understand what I'm saying? I have never tried her in that area, but I ain't never going to try her in that area. You know, certain things you're just smart enough not to do. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you understand what I'm saying? Like certain things you just, I'm not going to do that. You got it? So that being said, married couples, you have to maintain your marriage. Isn't it funny? You can get a nice car and you'll maintain that car. You'll get the tires rotated. You got it. You'll get the oil changed. You'll get it cleaned up. You got it. But all of a sudden we think we just say I do and then that's it. I don't have to maintain the marriage anymore. You got it. No. The same things that we did when we were courting. Y'all know what the word courting means, right? The same things we did. Some of y'all do. So the same things we did when we were courting are some of the same things we do now. You got it? And so I love to surprise that girl. I do. I love to surprise her. You know, after a while, I was doing so much that she almost stopped getting surprised. You understand? Because she said, well, you just always surprising me. You got it? I said, well, just act surprised. You know, but what am I doing? I'm making sure that she always knows that she is my number one. You got it? Whenever I go somewhere, you got it? When I land, hey, babe, I just landed. When I get in the rental car, I'm going to call you. Or when I get to the room, I'm going to call you. I just, you know, we're always keeping up with each other. We like to have fun. We like to keep things light because, you know, life is going to be life and there's going to be, you know, turbulent situations in life. But the thing is, if you keep your relationship light together, you guys can get through any turbulent situation, anything. You got it? You can get through it. You got it? And so you got to learn how to stay in love with your spouse. You got it? You got it. And that's, you know, and to you know, husband and wife, that's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to stay in love with lady. It's lady's responsibility to stay in love with me. Ain't no, you know, I don't feel out of love. Anyways, don't say that. Just look at your iPad, son. Look at your iPad. You know, the grass is green on that. No, it ain't. First of all, this ain't true. Okay, number one, let me just say, the grass is not greener. What did I say? The grass is not greener. Okay, if the grass was greener on the other side, the light bill would be higher. The water bill would be higher. All right? But the grass is not greener on the other side. Listen to me. The grass is greener where you water it. So are you watering your grass? Does that make sense? All right. All right. You know, and let's just talk about something else. In marriage, how many know there's going to be some disagreements? You ain't going to get away from that. There's just going to be some disagreement. How many know there's going to be some times where you think you're right and the spouse thinks they're right and nobody really wants to give? Isn't that right? Yeah. And so sometimes, watch this now, how many know somebody's going to have to break? Somebody's going to have to give. Isn't that right? You got it? So with lady and I, what we do is we take turns. I'm telling you, like, we got this thing working. Hey, it's working for us. You got it? So, hey, you know, everybody does a little bit different, but we take turns, you know? And so, you know, but if we're both not agreeing, somebody's got to humble themselves and be like, babe, it don't even matter. And it seems like as soon as one says it, the other one falls and everything starts working out, and now we both apologizing to each other, you know, because all that was with the enemy just trying to bring friction in. And so you can't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. You got it? And so, you know, now there was a time in the early days, in the first year of our marriage, you know, because just because we're young and those kind of things, we loved each other, we love God, but we're learning each other. You got it? And so if something would make me upset, I love her too much to scream and yell at her. You got it? But I just wouldn't talk to her. But that wasn't good neither. You understand what I'm saying? But I had to learn that wasn't good either. I had to learn that was immature. You got it? And so then I made myself start talking. You got it? There was a time I just go outside or I just go and drive. And then she said, I can't stand if you leave. Every time we get in a little argument, you leave, you know? And so then I said, okay, don't go nowhere. You get a little argument. So I walk out the door, but I don't get in the car. At least I just stay on the front porch. You got it? Everything's a process, right? You got it? And so I told her, I ain't going nowhere. I'm just on the front porch. And the funniest thing is, like, that would break. And she's like, you just so crazy. I'm like, You know, but we have to understand that it's our responsibility to stay in love with each other and watch this and forgive as Christ forgave us. Does that make sense? Y'all getting anything out of this? All right. So for all my singles in the house, it's your responsibility to keep yourself pure. All right. It is your responsibility to keep yourself pure. And you have to do this in several ways. You got to stay around positive people and friends that believe like you believe. You got it. You can't be around people, you know, you say, but girls, it's getting tough right now. You know, it's just, ooh, it's getting tough. And then your friend like, girl, just do what you got to do. Lord, forgive you on the other side. That is not what you need. but friend, you know, people will do that. You got it. And how many know that's why we got to stick with the word? All right. And so, you stay around people that believe like you believe. All right. Develop healthy outlets for emotional, for emotional and sexual outlets, hobbies, sports, you know, doing things, going to the gym, you know, just, you got to do things. Have a plan. You got it. Have a plan for when the enemy shows up. You got it. Enemy shows up. Seem like he ain't mess with you Tuesday. He ain't mess with you Wednesday. He didn't mess with you Thursday. But Friday night around 10 o'clock, here he come. You have to have a plan. What am I going to do? You got it. You know, so do I have an accountability because you're not married? You know, because if you're married, you know, of course, you wouldn't be dealing with that particular situation, you know, because y'all can do what you want because you're married. But anyways, you know, if you're married, then your accountability partner should be your spouse. So that's a good thing to bring up. So if I'm married and it's just other situations going, my spouse should be my accountability partner. Does that make sense? Can I go a little further? My spouse should always be my accountability partner. All right. Okay. If you're not married, you have to have a plan. You know, what's my plan? I got an accountability partner. Okay. So I call them. This is the code word. This is the code word. This is what we're going to do. You're going to come to my house. I'm going to come to your house. We're going to go to the movies. We're going to do something. Watch this. And the more you do it, you're resisting the devil. The Bible says, if you resist the devil, what's going to happen? He's going to flee. To the degree, you got it. If he tries to show up, you're like, man, the devil is a lie. You got it. I got too much at stake to be fooling with him. Does that make sense? All right, you got a little quiet, but it was all good. We worked through it. All right, so that was all number one, which is never consider yourself above temptation. All right, number two, everybody say number two. Number two, keep a close watch on your spiritual temperature. Keep a close watch on your spiritual temperature. Three things that you must do. I'm going to give them all to you first, and then after I give them all to you first, then I'll go down them one by one. First thing you got to do is you got to spend time with God. Second thing you have to do is you have to spend time, spend time in the Word. Is that number two? Okay. Okay. So go back to number one. So spend time with God, number one. Number two, spend time in the Word. And number three, spend time in worship. All right. So spend time with God. Everybody say spend time with God. All right. Number two, say spend time in the Word. And then number three, spend time in worship. All right, spending time with God, prayer should be a lifestyle. You got it? That's just the bottom line. Luke, the 18th chapter, in the first verse, Jesus says, he speaks a parable unto this end, that men should always pray and not faint. Men should always pray and not faint. Prayer is important. Prayer is powerful. Prayer works. Too many people in this culture discount prayer. You got it. Our ministry, you got it, was built on prayer. Our ministry continues to thrive on prayer. You understand? We pray. We wake up in the mornings. We have a prayer line. We have a prayer ministry. We got some prayer teams. You got it. People praying different times because we understand that it takes prayer. Prayer is communication with God in confrontation with the devil. All right, that's what it is. It's communication with God, but it's also confrontation with the devil. And so I'm coming boldly before the throne of grace. I'm communicating with my Father, but watch this. In my prayers, you got it. There's some things that I'm confronting the devil with. You got it. And so I've got to understand the importance of and the necessity for me to pray not some of the time, but for me to pray all of the time. All right. And the reason, the easiest way to make prayer a lifestyle is to always pray. So watch this. So I can get up in the morning, you know, I'm getting ready or I'm on my way to work, 7 o'clock. I can put, you know, even if I'm driving, I can put it on speaker, put it on there. Okay, boom. That's my boost. It's got me going. Right. But then I'm walking through the hallways. I can pray. I'm on my way over here. I can pray. I should always be praying. You got it. I mean, always. Father, I just thank you. This is a day that you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad. And I just thank you today for peace and prosperity, for nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in my life. And then, you know, I just go on about my business. That, how long did that take me? 30 seconds. Right. You know, and then, you know, a little bit later, you start thinking of something else. You got it. Father, I just thank you for my children. I thank you that they are inheritance. I thank you that they will serve you all the days of their life. I thank you that they'll find their purpose at an early age. I thank you that they will marry the right person on the first try. I thank you that they'll remain sexually pure until they become married. I'm just, in Jesus' name, amen. You understand what I'm saying? And then next thing you know, you're thinking about something else. Or maybe you went to the mailbox and you got your bills out. Father, I thank you that all my needs are met according to heaven's best, in Jesus' name. I thank you supply all my needs, even above my knees. I thank you that all my bills are paid and paid in full. I thank you that I'm a giver and I'm a steward. And because of that, the law of increase belongs to me, in Jesus' name. You understand? Lack, be gone. Insufficiency, be gone. So you got to pray. You have to pray. And so it's so important. So prayer is communication with God and confrontation with the devil. Here's another one. Prayer is the bridge between panic and peace. Prayer is the bridge between panic and peace. Because anytime something happens, watch this now, the enemy wants to get you in fear. You got it. He wants to get you in fear to make you think it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. You got it. But prayer is the bridge between panic. And as I pray, it takes me to peace. You got it. And so, you know, it is the, when I pray, when I go to God, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So I don't worry about anything, but I pray about everything. Does that make sense? All right. So that was number one, spend time with God. All right. Number two, spend time in the Word. Spend time in the Word. Why, Pastor? It's the best way to keep your faith levels up. It's the best way to keep your faith levels up. I'm glad you come to church on Sunday, and I'm so glad you come to church on Tuesday, but I hope you listen to the Word all the time. Does that make sense? You know, that's why we have the podcast. We send it to you. You know, a lot of times, you know, now the way our phones work, you hit play on your phone. It comes to your speakers in the car. Technology is amazing and all those kind of things. And so the more you build yourself up in the Word, and the more you build yourself up in the Word, and the more you build yourself up in the Word, the more faith that you have. You understand? And so, you know, Romans 10 and 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we understand that part. I was thinking in Ephesians, he said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. You know, y'all know the scripture. I love verse 17 because he says, and take the helmet of salvation, watch this, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so the Word is really our weapon. You got it? Everybody say, the Word is my weapon. So theologically, sound doctrine teaches me that the Word is my weapon, and so I need to make sure that I'm all, but whatever I put in me is what's going to come up out of me. Does that make sense? So if I, watch this, if I've got a bunch of carnality in me, when trouble shows up, you know, and when trials show up, and I'm not talking doubt and unbelief. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation. Psalm 34 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Of course, we know the other part. He's going to deliver us out of them all. But I'm saying, you know, just the natural part of it is we're going to go through some things. But if all I have is carnality in me, guess what's going to come out? Fear, anxiety, depression. You got it. But if I've got the Word of God on the inside of me, then faith is going to come up out of me. You got it. Anytime something show up in your life, you say, oh, no, devil, we ain't even going down this route. You got it. Not today or tomorrow either. You got it. And so you've got to understand that the Word is our weapon. All right. So number one was spend time with God. Number two was spend time in the Word. And my last one, we're about to wrap this thing up. Number three, spend time in worship. I love worship. Oh man, worship, it changes your reality. You hear me say this all the time because that's what it does. It's at that moment when you're in worship, your eyes are closed, you're not thinking about anyone to the left, you're not thinking about anyone to the right, you're just totally concentrated on him, you're beginning to worship him. It's at that place in worship where you feel his presence, where any issues, any problems get really, really small and your God gets really, really big. It's that moment in worship that you just know, man, God can do anything but fail. Like sometimes you'll be in worship, be like, man, I don't even know why I was sweating that, because God's got that. You got it? And so you've got to understand the importance of worship. Man, I love to worship. I love to worship. And so worship is important, And I think that I don't have time to do it, but I think we have to now. When on Sunday mornings, we sing a couple praise songs and we sing some worship songs. Nowadays, culturally, they just call it all worship. You understand? That's fine. But we sing the more upbeat, And then there's the times when we slow down and we really worship God. It is in those times that we should not be clapping and yelling and screaming and those kind of things. And, as your pastor, I'm supposed to teach you these things. It doesn't mean you won't have emotions. It doesn't mean you won't cry. It doesn't mean that you won't feel, you got it. But it's at those, sometimes you just got to be still and be quiet so God can do something through you. Does that make sense? And I think that is important that we understand that he loves praise and he loves exuberance, but he also loves worship. He also loves, and I don't think that you should just worship, when you get here to WLCC. I think that you should worship in your car. I think you should worship at your house. You got it. I've got this one worship song playing. It just hit me the other day. I think I put it on Facebook, and it's been playing in my car the whole time, round and round. I mean, lady and the kids roll with me. They're going to have to listen. You're going to have to listen to the word of worship if you get in my car. You got it. But worship really does something for you. You got it. And so you have to understand. All right. When I worship, I can expect four things. How many things? All right. Probably more. But in the context of this lesson, you can expect four things. So the first thing you can expect is a sovereign response. Worship always gets God's attention. All right. Worship always gets God's attention. You got it. When I slow down and I close my eyes and I lift my hands and I'm just concentrating on him, worship, whenever I worship God, it always gets God's attention. You got it. You remember Hannah? She prays. She makes a vow. And then the Bible says she worships. And then what's the next thing the Bible says? It got God's attention. All right. So I can expect a sovereign response. Second thing I can expect is spiritual refreshing. Spiritual refreshing. Worship renews our strength. You got it. How does worship renew our strength? Because when you worship, you experience his anointing. You got it. And so worship renews our strength. So number one is sovereign response. Number two is spiritual refreshing. Number three is significant revelations. Significant revelations. Worship brings wisdom and insight. Worship brings wisdom and insight. You ever been worshiping God and you got an answer that you needed because you were worshiping? You got it. And that is why I teach the difference between praise and worship. And both of them are good and both of them are needed, but they almost do two different things. You got it. And so that is why I teach people, man, when it's time to worship, when we have our worship moment right before I preach. Matter of fact, this past Sunday, Sheikah led worship for the first time. She did an amazing job. You got it. Did an amazing job. She got up and I told her how proud I was of her. And she just got up and she just was herself. And she just began to sing. And man, the anointing just came down. She didn't get up there and try too hard. She didn't try to make y'all, flow her. She just got up and did her thing. Because when you worship, I told her, I said, you just have to, sometime with worship, less is more. Just close your eyes, lift your hands, let God do the rest. You got it? And so what happens is, we're beginning to worship, and then all of a sudden the anointing, it just shows up. And then it's like an answer you needed shows up. A heaviness that was on you lifts. You got it, and so it's so important that you never miss the worship moment. I think our church is really good at that as far as worshiping and those kind of things. But if you're not careful in worship, you'll be looking around, you'll be wondering what other people, but you cannot miss the worship moment. You got it. You can't miss the worship moment. All right. And so, all right. So number one, sovereign response. Number two, spiritual refreshing. Number three, significant revelations. And then number three, situational rescue. Situational rescue. Worship can set in motion divine intervention. Worship can set in motion divine intervention. The moment when I begin to worship God, you got it, and that worship goes up as a sweet smelling savor in his nostrils. I tell people, God can't help but lean over on the throne and find out who in the world is worshiping me. You got it. And then, and it's at that moment in worship that burdens can be removed, that yokes can be destroyed, that intervention can take place. And that is why it's so important to worship God. Does that make sense? Well, guess what? I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Let's stand all over the building. Let's stand on. It's 7:58. I did good.